So we get a news story of a woman being fired from Starbucks. And what was her wrongdoing? She's white. But luckily, she got paid a lot of money. Let's talk about it. All right, and welcome to the show, guys. Happy Wednesday. I'm rocking my glasses today. We have not two eyes, but four. Taylor's in Nashville.
Two more eyes over here. How's it going?
And Scott's in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
He's back. Today, we're going to be talking about an interesting story that popped up on my feed, and it is about a Starbucks employee who was fired, and the issue that she was fired for was being white. Now, a jury has ruled that this was anti-white discrimination, and she made a large sum of money to the tune of $25.6 million. That's crazy, y'all. We're going to talk about that later.
Can I get some of that anti-white discrimination?
Yeah, literally. Can somebody please just, like, do something racist towards me? Like, I wish this would happen to me if you can get $25.6 million. Anyways, let's get into the story here. So, in April 2018, two black men entered a Starbucks shop in a Rittenhouse Square neighborhood of Philadelphia for a business meeting with a white man who had not yet arrived. While they waited and before ordering, one of the two asked to use the bathroom. He was refused. Eventually, they were asked to leave. When they did not, an employee called the police. The subsequent arrest captured in videos viewed millions of times online, prompted accusations of racism, protests, and boycott threats. The company's chief executive apologized publicly, describing the way the men had been treated as reprehensible. Starbucks took the extraordinary step of temporarily closing 8,000 stores to teach their workers about racial bias. So they clearly didn't want the bad PR that came from what is more than likely, you know, knowing the history of Starbucks and their long-lived leftist career in politics. This was a fluke incident, but they took it very seriously because of the bad PR. Goes on to say, on Monday, in a surprising twist, a federal jury in New Jersey ordered Starbucks pay $25.6 million to a former regional manager after determining that the company had fired her amid the fallout from the Rittenhouse Square episode because she was white. The jury found that Starbucks had violated the federal civil rights of the former manager, Shannon Phillips, as well as a New Jersey law that prohibits discrimination based on race, awarding her $600,000 in compensatory damages and $25 million in punitive damages. Wow, that's just so crazy to me. Not that necessarily that she was discriminated against because she's white, because I feel like that is happening more and more in our society, but the fact that you can get this much money, maybe it's because they're trying to make an example of Starbucks. Or, you know, we're just throwing around money pretty frivolously here. I'm trying to think about how I feel about this. I go back and forth on these issues of discrimination. You all know we had Tyler Fisher on the show, who is a white comedian who I believe failed to get representation from an agency or institution. And they told him, basically, it's a hard time out there for white guys right now. And that's the reason we're not going to enter this deal with you. And you can check out that interview. And I hear that and I go, yeah, that's messed up. Like, I don't like that people would miss out on opportunities because somebody chooses to discriminate against them. But then I hear stories like this with $25.6 million in damages for something that happened at one of your, you know, franchises. And I think, is it really that serious? And at first I felt, okay, you know, this is really messed up. You know, give her whatever money she gets in this suit. But I'm teetering on the edge of, should companies be allowed to discriminate? Because this is whack. It's a lot of money.
Or at least the amount that she's awarded. It says that the jury awarded her $600,000 in compensatory damage and $25 million in punitive damages. I can understand the $600,000. It's like, okay, you lost your salary for a while. They owed you for that. $25 million in punitive damage for, like, what, your emotional distress or the violation of your rights? It just seems like a little excessive, however you slice it. But I think her lawyer went on to say they were very pleased with the unanimous verdict, adding that she proved by clear and convincing evidence that punitive damages were warranted. I'm like, I'm sure some were warranted, but I don't know if, how much evidence do you need to get 25 million? That's pretty crazy.
I know. It's a lot. And I want to get into the weeds here and run the risk of ruffling a few feathers with this conversation. We're just entertaining the idea, guys. Should businesses be able to discriminate on the basis of things that are outlined in the, you know, Civil Rights Act? Should it be, should they be allowed to discriminate on the basis of race? Should they be allowed to discriminate on the basis of gender identity? Should they be allowed to discriminate on the basis of sexuality? I know there's a clip of me online saying that if I was hiring for a position to work, you know, under me on this show or something like that, and somebody put in a, you know, resume that said, you know, my name is Janice, pronouns they, them, the application would have accidentally fallen in the paper shredder. I'm so sorry. It really would. I'm just being honest, right? I would not, I'm not inclined to hire somebody who's a they, them. And you can go check out the video as to why I feel that way. And the sentiment has been echoed on the internet. And I stand by that. So if I stand by that, then I must stand by the fact that other companies should have every right to be able to make that decision for themselves. If you are an individual, let's say I go to get hired at a company and they're like, you're biracial, we don't want you working here. Would I sue them and be like, no, they should have like given me the job and they should have not been racist towards me? Or would I be enlightened to know that I would have been working for a racist company and just move on and go about my business? I feel like the latter of the two, but maybe I'm like taking it on a little bit like too headstrong about it, and we should be super sensitive to these sorts of things. I don't know.
I don't think we should be super sensitive. Like, I think of a company like, you know, if Chick-fil-A, for example, wanted to hire only Christians, which I believe at some point was their policy. I don't know if it is anymore. But yeah, I think they should have the right to do that because that's their part of their brand and part of who they are. And I don't think that's necessarily discrimination. It's just, hey, we're a Christian company, this is how we want to do. When you're specifically not hiring people because of race, that's right. That's where it gets a little squirrely for me, just because that's not, I don't know, that's like something that is an immutable characteristic. And I think right. That's where it's different from gender identity too, because gender identity, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't exist. It's made up. It's, you know, pseudoscience that was invented by a pedophile in the 60s, or at least popularized by one, and sure. You know, has been taken on this weird form where there's so much baggage and attached to it that you don't even know what people are talking about. It doesn't really have to do with someone's, you know, innate nature in any provable way that you can ground in science. So that's where I see a distinction between the race and the gender, at least.
And I agree. I think it's worse to discriminate against somebody on the basis of race, which is something they just cannot change. You cannot change your skin color. If you're going to be colorist towards somebody, that's a horrible thing to be. And it's just a stupid thing to be. But would I like to know which companies are stupid enough to do that? Yeah, I would. When you get into the vein of just like forcing behavior on people, right? Which, let's go ahead and acknowledge one thing, just foundationally, most people are not racist. Most people are not dealing with this problem. Most companies right now do not feel like they're being forced to hire, like, you know, diversified or whatever. And most people don't really care about the diversity of who they hire, the skin color of who they hire. That's not something that we're actively taking into account, except with like wokeness and all that crazy stuff. So it's not like if you said, here you guys go, we're gonna get rid of this act or this rule, that people would all of a sudden just start discriminating against everybody. I feel like things would just be pretty normal.
Yeah, if you were demonstrating clear racism in your hiring practices, well, guess what? Word would get out and people would be like, wow, those people are hella racist. Let's not patronize their business.
Right. Like, why don't we let this cycle of things just happen naturally, right? If you're gonna be a racist business owner who's only gonna hire like white people or only gonna hire black people, then, you know, I would love to know that that's the case. And it's not like people aren't doing that anyways. How many times do you hear about like a black owned business and they center around like black employees and black products and black manufacturing and all these different things? So it is happening, and we don't look at that and go like, that's not okay. We don't sneer at that, but in the opposite direction, you get I don't know, millions of dollars. In this case, you have a white woman who got millions of dollars. To me, it just seems unnecessary. Like, I'd rather know that, okay, cool, you guys are racist, not going to patronize your business, and I also don't want to work here. Which, again, maybe I'm too, like, you know, laissez-faire about it, and there should be active rules, and this would be a problem that would just, like, run amok if we didn't have some sort of law that tells people that this is not okay. But I'm unconvinced, right? I'm unconvinced by this. And it seems like people are making a whole lot of money off of this. There's another story, if we want to see it in reverse. This is a woman who was fired from Equinox, and she was awarded $11.25 million in damages. And this is a black woman who was fired. Now, Equinox came out and said, yo, we fired this woman because she was late 47 times in the course of 10 months working for this business, which seems like a valid reason to be able to fire somebody. But she retorted back and said, no, it was discrimination, it's because I'm black, and goes into some examples of what happened to her while at this job. Let me go down here. So her main allegations were against a manager who was working underneath her, so was subordinate to her at Equinox, a middle-aged white man who she described as insulated by his relationships with people above her, refused to accept her as his supervisor. She claimed that he repeatedly delivered vulgar takes on black female bodies, referred to non-white employees as lazy, and expressed the hope that he could get them fired. He called one black coworker autistic. In the early spring of 2019, the suit claimed that he demanded that his boss, which is the woman who's getting this money, wait outside the gym with him for a young black woman to leave a cafe where she worked so that he could make a pass at her, on the theory that he would be better positioned with a black person standing next to him. According to Mrs. Europe, in her complaint, she says that she refused to be a racial pawn. So this is what happened. This subordinate was making these jokes and doing what is probably not something you should do at work. I think we can all acknowledge that. I'm just wondering, why wasn't he fired? It says that he reported to her and that she was his supervisor. Why not just fire him? And now you have this lawsuit against Equinox that awarded you over $11 million. I would be inviting people to be racist to me if I knew that I could get $11 to $25 million. I would be like, bring it on.
Isn't that what she did though? Like, if she was responsible for, or he reported to her, isn't she the one that's responsible for handling his racism? If you have a employee who's being racist, it's basically your responsibility to confront that and say, hey, that's not cool. Doesn't align with our policies. You're out of here. But did she allow that to go on just so that she could be victimized by this and claim money for it?
Right. Exactly.
That's the question.
I don't know. Because it goes on, like, she even goes in to say in this complaint, the accumulation of these incidents, which we just spoke about, him asking her, can you stand outside of the gym with me so I can hit on this black girl? It'll look better if a black person's standing next to me. And him calling a black coworker autistic and saying that he wouldn't accept her as a supervisor. This was apparently so stressful for her that bulimia that she struggled with through much of her life had worsened. While working there, Miss Europe told me that her condition was bad enough that she began vomiting several times a day and started to throw up blood. She eventually had to enter a treatment program for eating disorders, and her lawyers are tacking this onto the complaint, saying that she deserves punitive damages for what she went through with her eating disorder because of the stress that she endured from hearing these jokes and vulgar remarks from a coworker is what induced her bulimia. Y'all, I try to be empathetic here, but BFFR. This is crazy. It sounds like one of those things where, like, you get fired and you're pissed off, so you go to a lawyer and they're like, he's one of those, like, Better Call Saul guys. And he's like, you know what? I can run with that. What else do you got? Like, what other horrible things happened that we can, like, tack on and mix together and say that this caused it? And then we're going to take it to the courts and we're going to get that bag. And she got the bag. A jury said that this is okay and that she was discriminated against and gave her $11.25 million. Now, again, right, when I hear these stories of discrimination on the basis of race, do I think it's okay? No. Do I think it's the right thing to do? No, but I run with that like strong feeling of, no, it's not the right thing to do. And I'm thinking, okay, we should legislate this. And every time I bring up these stories to my boyfriend in particular, he's like, why shouldn't they be allowed to do that? And I actively have to like think, okay, why shouldn't somebody be allowed to do it if they are the business owners? They've created the business. It is their choice who they hire. It is their choice who they work with. It is their choice who they terminate. You know, feels like it should be allowed.
I would say that especially if it's like a privately run company too, as opposed to a publicly traded company. I think there is a difference between those two. To your point earlier, it's like if they created the business, they have that power and that ability to pay the employees that they desire to pay and hire. And I feel like this is just another instance of our very litigious society, especially here in the United States. And I feel like this new wave of people being just hurt by words and conflating that with violence is only going to intensify that litigious nature, which is terrible.
And I'm trying to think of other instances where, like, an immutable characteristic you would be okay with people discriminating against. If you are starting a business and you're selling golf clubs, okay, which is a predominantly male sport, and you are selling golf clubs and like men's clothes, and you say, for the purpose of this store, I think it's best that we hire male sales associates, and I'm only going to hire male people to work at my business that I created for products that are made for men. Is that discrimination? Is it discrimination if you go, let me try and, you know what, I'll hire a saleswoman. Let's try it out, because I haven't hired a saleswoman yet. You hire the saleswoman and you find, maybe she's not as effective, and maybe I think that's because she's a woman, and maybe she doesn't play golf, and she's not good at, you know, communicating to these men who are my primary demographic. I'm gonna fire her. I'm a terminator. So sorry, here's your severance package. Go on about your business. Does she then get to say, you discriminated against me based on an immutable characteristic that I cannot change? I need a lawyer to answer that.
No. I mean, you're asking about the actual technical. I would vote no.
Yeah, because if you have this guy on record and he says, well, I'm firing you, you know, it's just the womanness is not working out right now. It's just not working out. She would have grounds to sue, I'm assuming. Which to me, when I hear that, I'm like, that's not right. As a business owner, you should be able to do that. And I don't care if you think it's bad or you don't think it's okay. He has every right as a business owner to do that.
Yeah, I just have a lot more sympathy for the first story of the white lady who got fired because she's white. That one is a little bit more like, seemed like she was a sacrificial lamb for PR,
right?
Even though she was not responsible for it. And the article even says one of her superiors, a black woman, told her to suspend a white manager who oversaw stores in Philadelphia because of allegations that he had engaged in discriminatory conduct, allegations that Ms. Phillips said she knew to be untrue. So she resisted firing someone else on the basis of race. And then there was something else where no action was taken against the manager who oversaw the store where this issue happened. And that manager was a black man who Ms. Phillips said he had promoted the employee who called the police. So he was complicit in, you know, bringing about the whole controversial situation where these two black men were removed from the store.
Right.
That store manager was not fired because he was black. So, and she was. So that, in that case, I'm like, okay, this is just obvious, just like a racial discrimination. And I think she should be awarded for that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would agree. I have to think about it. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Even though I think it's wrong, does she deserve to be rewarded for that? I would ask, like, was she paid severance pay in her firing? Was there some sort of, like, payment for the termination of her job and stuff like that? I don't know. I'm just like, I understand that it's not a good situation to be in and that it wasn't cool that they did it, but does she deserve damages? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, maybe severance or, like, you know, recoup lost salary or whatever, but then if I'm her, I'm going to the media and I'm being like, yo, this thing went down and that should damage their reputation. And yeah, maybe you didn't get, you know, all this you know, massive amount of money awarded to you by a jury, but that's a form of justice because you're fighting back and exposing the truth about these people who treated you horribly and were racist, and you get to expose that. So I don't know. I mean, it is tough to say, like, it's the government's job to step in and say, you know, play referee and award her all that money. Yeah. I don't, the $25 million definitely feels excessive.
Oh, definitely. Definitely the number is excessive. Yeah. On the debate of whether or not there should be a number at all, I want to ask the chat if we can put a poll in the chat.
How do we phrase this?
not should companies be allowed to discriminate, but like, I don't know how you phrase a poll asking that question. I don't know. Should this be allowed? Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll work on that.
I'm just going to put your companies be allowed to discriminate. If you're watching, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. you tell us what you think about it. And let's move on to some other news here, and we'll continue this conversation based on how you guys answer the poll there. Here is a video from the White House that was posted on Twitter today. And it says, to the LGBTQI+ community, the Biden-Harris administration has your back. Let's watch.
These are our neighbors, not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids. And our children are the kite strings that hold our national ambitions aloft. What? It matters a great deal how we treat everyone in this country. The LGBTQ Americans, especially children, you're loved, you're heard, and this administration has your back.
Did y'all hear that? Let's play it one more time. One more time.
These are our kids. These are our neighbors. Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids.
Huh? Huh? These are our kids? These are our neighbors? Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids? I'm sorry. I did not have kids, or I do not plan on having kids, so the United States government can say that my kids are their kids. Absolutely not. They are absolutely not your children. And this, a lot of people are going to hear this and be like, oh, what a beautiful statement from President Biden. That is not a beautiful statement. That is scary that he thinks that the state and that the government has some sort of right and some sort of strength over your own children.
Yeah, that's very creepy. He also lost me when he was saying that they're the kite strings that hold the kite aloft. And it's like, well, it's not the strings that actually hold the kite aloft. It's the wind and you know, the truth, the word, you know, the spirit out there.
Right.
It's not it's not the string, dude. It's not the children.
Just an improper analogy there. Just improper. And for will I say it? You know this guy's rep with children, right? I'm certainly going to come out here and say that my future kids are not the government's kids. They're certainly not Joe Biden's kids. He's too busy sniffing them to even talk about issues that have anything to do with what's in this video. Oh my gosh. But this is like the scary thing. You hear a lot of people say, you know, it takes a village. And I understand it takes a village to raise kids. They get what they mean. It's all hands on deck. You know, you often need help from, you know, the outside when you're trying to raise a family with whoever you are partnered with. But that doesn't mean that the village involves the U.S. government. And what this broader message is that the administration, as it stands currently, has a right to inject itself and its ideology into your parental child dynamic so they can further their own agenda. And of course, they're using this to talk about LGBTQIA+ kids or whatever, because they have, let's call it, a vested interest in maybe allowing your kids to explore gender confusion, which is why we have legislators in California talking about how it's child abuse if you don't allow your gender-confused child to explore that and to be affirmed in their gender confusion. That's where you get this sort of idea. So when they give you this pretty video about how they're all our kids and not anyone else's kids, they're ours, that's what they mean.
Yeah, this is the creepy collectivism that comes along with like literally the endpoint of this type of thinking is communism, where the state does own your children. And you know, the right to raise your own children and inculcate your own values to them is it's a sacred part of the what it is to be an American and what it is like our values of freedom and being free from tyranny and having freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Like the government does not own you, that does not own your children. Mm-hmm. And the right to raise your kids yourself is something that is sacred. And it's interesting that this is showing up in so many debates around the country, like with the parental rights and education bill and parents desiring to assert themselves and saying, I have the right to, you know, have a voice in what is being taught to my kid at school. And you're not allowed to, if I don't want them participating in this weird gender ideology, it's not your job as this woke teacher to give them a transition closet when they get to school. That's not okay. That's stepping outside that sacred boundary of the government not having a say in raising my kids and raising those values. And so it's very, you know, when you have this coming down from the tippity top of the U.S. government is very concerning because it's just so on the nose. This has existed and we've seen it. But when it's, you know, a crazy teacher on libs of TikTok, you're like, oh, that's just a crazy teacher. You know, she's got some crazy communist ideas and she's just has no sense of boundaries and is trying to impose it on my kids. When it's coming from the White House, that is something to seriously pay attention to and realize that this is not just some decentralized, like, you know, pockets of people who are have excessive buy-in to a certain ideology. There is ideological capture at the highest levels.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. Elon Musk responded to it and said, you are the government. They are not your kids, which is so great to have him like on the battle here saying that this is not OK. And then in calling this out, because it brings more eyes to what is being said here. There's a reason that our founding fathers advocated for limited government and warned about government overreach. And if this is not government overreach, I don't know what is. And when you think about some of the disgusting behavior that a lot of these politicians and bureaucrats on both sides of the spectrum are engaging in, particularly with kids' involvement, which I don't need to spell that out for you because a lot of you know, you're aware, to have a statement, not somebody else's kids, they're all our kids, should be wildly concerning to hear. And I don't know what the answer is for solving this and speaking out against this rhetoric other than saying, red alert, this is not okay, and sound the alarm and just make you aware that this is happening. I was speechless after I watched this video. Several people looked at this. Somebody edited this together. They workshopped it around the people who are responsible for their Twitter posts and press on behalf of the White House. And they went, yep, that's a beautiful message. And we should put that out to the American people. Think about that. Think about how delusional you have to be to see this and go, that's beautiful. I'm going to post that as a representative of the White House. Scary. And then they like look at you and call you a conspiracy theorist when you say they're coming after children and that they are putting children on the front lines of these ideological and political debates. They tell you you're crazy. They tell you you're the one with the tinfoil hat on as they're actively saying that your kids are not yours, they're ours. I don't have any other words. Meanwhile, this is kind of a segue. Ezra Miller, who played the Flash in a movie that is, you know, now coming out, and we know his history. For those of you who don't, Ezra Miller is an actor. He was in, we need to talk about Kevin. He was in the Stanford Prison Experiment. He plays the Flash, of course, which I guess he is most noted for now. And he identifies as non-binary, so there was this whole they-them controversy with him. But the bigger controversy was his crimes against multiple victims where he has assaulted people. There are videos of him assaulting and fighting people on the internet that you can go and check out. He was accused of, I believe, kidnapping a young woman and, like, housing her in this separate place that he had. And when they came and investigated, they found rounds in his place and weapons and things of that nature, and there was apparently drugs involved, and he evaded arrest for quite some time, and it was this whole thing of where is Ezra Miller, there's all these charges against him, but here he is at the Flash. It was a premiere? Yeah, in Los Angeles. Just chilling. I think he might have somebody who's looking over him, which is this woman right here, who's apparently maybe supervising his actions. We haven't gotten a clear indication of who she is. But there he is, just chilling at the Flash premiere, which I just don't understand how this happened. Unless all the stories that we're hearing about him were untrue, how did this man make it to the premiere of this film with everything that's been going on? I do not know. Which, when Johnny Depp had all these allegations from Amber Heard, right? He was stripped of everything. I mean, like, Fantastic Beasts dropped him. He wasn't working with Dior anymore. They dropped all these different ad campaigns he was doing, all these different movies, and all these different corporations that were working with him were like, no more Johnny Depp. You have videos of Ezra Miller actively assaulting people. You have the police case and investigation from what he possibly did with these underage people. And there he is at the premiere. So we're all just wishy-washy all over the place. You can do whatever you want, I think. So long as you fit the narrative. I don't know if he's getting, like non-binary privileges, and that's what's going on here. I can't place it. Unless there's something else going on, and there's some crossed wires that we don't know about, and he has some sort of special card he gets to pull. He's out there. I get them still releasing the movie, right? You spend millions and millions of dollars on a movie and it's done. It's gone through, you know, post-production and everything, and they want to put it out because, you know, you put in your investment. So I get that. But to still parade around this guy who has done less, he's had less good days, is just an interesting choice. And there's that.
The lectures we're going to hear from the next award show from Hollywood are just going to be taken that much more seriously about their, you know, morality and how much they're standing up for the little guy and standing up for people's rights when they just continue to let this weird sexual deviancy and violence persist. And I think I read somewhere that they're not considering to recast him for future films either. So it's just strange. There's definitely double standard too. When you think about someone like Gina Carano getting her career ended basically for what is by comparison, nothing.
Right.
And you know, it's for as much as they like to lecture us in Virtue Signal about how much they, you know, believe all women and Me Too and all this stuff, when the rubber meets the road in certain situations, they're not consistent with how they apply, whether or not it's been proven. They're willing to drop certain people for mere allegations, and then they're willing to, you know, let other people stay in. Why? Because of pronouns, like you said, who knows?
Yeah, they do whatever fits their narrative in Hollywood, and they really do not care. Like, I can't express enough how little these people care for the actual issues that people are dealing with on any given day. They don't care. And, you know, Hollywood was the arbiter of the hashtag Time's Up, hashtag Me Too movement, and you actively have this guy who's committed multiple assaults just running around at his premiere, man, and they're telling you they care about women, they're telling you they care about assault victims, they're telling you they care about survivors and all this stuff. You've just got to be kidding me, man. You got to be kidding me. You can just, they'll just do anything, and they do it so, they're so brash about it that it's almost laughable. It is almost laughable.
You could almost shoot somebody on a movie set and get away with it. Oh, wait.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's a whole nother thing. We didn't give...
Somebody was shot. I mean...
Right. We didn't give Alec Baldwin enough. We didn't talk about that enough. That was a whole crazy story. I went and watched his... I think it was a 60 Minutes interview he did. Was it 60 Minutes?
Yeah.
And if that was not incriminating, I don't know what is. That was wild to watch. Him talking about the whole incident that happened on the Rust, I think Rust is what it was called.
Rust.
Yeah, the set of that movie. And the only time he gets emotional is not when he's talking about the woman who lost her life after the mishandling of a firearm. The only time he gets emotional is when he starts talking about the effect that it's had on his career and how much he loves acting, and he's scared he's never going to be able to act again. That's when tears fall from that man's eyes. Anyways. Yeah,
how much of a sociopath you have to be to, right, you know, that for only that to drive you to an emotional reaction and not the fact that you're, you know, whether obviously I don't think he did it on purpose or whatever, but like,
right.
If you're responsible, if your hand pulled the trigger that killed someone, like how much of a mind bleep would that be? And like what that would do to your conscience and how distraught you would be. That is really tough to hear. I wasn't aware of that interview.
Yeah. Maybe one of these days we'll go back.
Allegedly.
Just because it made me so angry to watch. But anyways, that's my thoughts on that. We're going to move on to another story here. Demi Lovato apparently got tired of using they, them pronouns. And she says it was, quote, absolutely exhausting. You know, I go back and forth on Demi Lovato. I'm going to be honest. I was mean to Demi Lovato when she first came out with her, like, they, them pronouns and saying she was they, them, she, her, whatever. I got to give her, not necessarily an apology, but I got to say, she's been through a lot and struggled through a lot. So I did not take that into account with the initial story where she came out with these pronouns or whatever. So I'm actively acknowledging she's probably been through a lot of stuff that led her down the pathway to be confused about her gender. All of the child star stuff, which we all know has come along with lots of different trauma for all the other actors and actresses who were in the child star space and probably still does to this day. I don't know why we have so many like child stars these days. I think it needs to be reevaluated. But she had all that. She had all the drug issues. She had the thing that happened where she was essentially groomed into dating this older man. So there's a lot of things that give way to gender confusion here, I think. But she says that she got tired of using they, them pronouns and decided to switch to she, her, saying, quote, I constantly had to educate people and explain why I identified with those pronouns. It was absolutely exhausting. She said in an interview for GQ Hype Spain, I just got tired, but for that very reason, I know that it's important to continue spreading the word. And she talks about how she faces issues every day in having to use public toilets, having to access the woman's bathroom, even though I don't completely identify with it, she explained. So it's kind of similar to what we heard from Bella Ramsey, who you all know from Game of Thrones and The Last of Us. She identifies as a non-binary actress with they, them pronouns and says, you know, it's hard when you don't identify with things that you see. And she put out somewhat of a plea for award shows to change their categories to be more inclusive of non-binary actors and actresses. It's just so weird to me that this thing that popped up within like the last 5 years is making such an impact that people are now saying they don't identify with actor or actress, or they don't identify with women's bathrooms anymore. I find it hard to just take it seriously, gonna be honest.
Yeah, is this a harbinger of hopefully of like the demise of the gender ideology stuff, that they'll just get tired of trying to impose this pseudo reality on the rest of us and relent at some point? I mean, one can hope. Myth, this is, you know, the proverbial cloud the size of a man's hand that shows. But then again, we are talking about Demi Lovato, who we all, you know, this whole story, like you said, it's just kind of sad because of how much she's been through and how confused she is. And I don't want to throw any stones at her for anything, but you know, it is interesting because if we stay more grounded, if our roots are deeper into reality with a capital R, than the roots of these ideologues are into their reality with a lowercase r, is that how we win? You know, is that how things sanity is restored? And I mean, if I'm taking anything from this story, this is one person's example, but I don't know, that's I'm holding out my hope that this makes me want to be all the more committed to holding the line with regard to defending reality.
I mean, if this story is true, your main defense is just acting super confused when somebody tells you they have they them pronouns. Just being like, what? Just act like you are
have to act.
Right. just put yourself in the space of like a 95-year-old with somebody telling you that they have they them pronouns. That has got to be the worst. Imagine telling like an older boomer that you have they them pronouns and having to explain to them. They can barely log into their email and now they want to hear how you have they them pronouns. Absolutely not. I think we had a guy who's 100 years old in the office here recently to tell his story for Stories of Us. He's a Holocaust survivor. Imagine going up to that guy and being like, it's actually they, them. I can't. Yeah. I can't. Just imagine it, guys. And I think most people can realize that that's unreasonable to expect. Yeah. That's unreasonable to expect.
If you get misgendered by a Holocaust survivor, that's you just let that one go.
You let it slide. Yeah, you let that slide. You go on about your day. You go on about your day after that one. But I get it, man. You know, when I think Demi Lovato in particular, when I think about like child stars and some of the less than ideal outcomes they go through, honestly, you know, gender confusion is doing pretty good comparatively. And she's sober, and that's good for her. I mean, I imagine there's a lot of struggle that comes just by looking at the outcomes of some of these kids. There's just a lot going on there. You probably were stripped of a great bit of time to find out what your actual identity is. And you know what? For that, I feel bad. But we don't need to change the bathrooms. Do we need they, them bathrooms? I know a lot of people are saying, like, we should just do gender neutral bathrooms, one stall gender neutral bathrooms. Just not ready for the line. I'm not ready for the line that exists at the one stall gender neutral bathrooms.
I was going to say, as a somewhat germaphobe, public bathrooms are also a struggle for me as well. You know, going into those things, hate them.
Yeah, hate them. Right. I don't want to be in a bathroom that's mixed with men going in the bathroom. Have you seen anybody ever seen the state of a man's bathroom? I'm so sorry.
I have seen.
I was going to say, yes, yes.
But the good thing is you're not in there as long. You know, a guy, you can get in and out and do your business. There's not a line usually. And for girls, it's nicer, but you're take forever to get in there. You got to wait.
I guess, but I feel like y'all leave like contaminated. Like there's a risk factor for chronic illness after going into a men's bathroom. When you walk into a women's bathroom, it's like perfume. There's like lotion on the counter and like hand napkins. And
I thought it was only like that on TV.
We have nicer bathrooms. You know, not all of them, but oh my gosh, y'all are fighting for your lives in the bathroom.
You get like lung damage coming out of the men's bathroom.
Asbestos and stuff. I don't know what's going on in there.
The noises, it's all just
so
bad.
I'm just not for it. I don't want to share a bathroom with men, and I'm not going to. Speaking of men, women, drawing the distinction, knowing the difference, we have a glossary definition from Johns Hopkins University. And it's a definition of lesbian versus a definition of gay men. So here's the lesbian definition. It's a sexual orientation. Of course, we knew that. The definition is a non-man attracted to non-men. Make it make sense, y'all. Make that make sense. A non-man attracted to non-men. A gay man, they've defined as a man who is emotionally, romantically, sexually, affectionately, or relationally attracted to other men. So men get to skirt by with the actual definition of what it is to be gay, which is a man who is attracted to other men. But lesbians now have a non-man attracted to non-men. Why is that? And this is from a trusted institution, Johns Hopkins University, which is responsible for bringing out your like supposedly highly trained doctors, physicians, medical practitioners. It's one of the biggest universities for that sole purpose in the United States of America. And they can't define what a lesbian is.
Scott, you went there. Can you explain it to us?
Yes, please. Jeez,
no, this is blowing my mind. And it's actually just sad that, honestly, that I'm associated with this university at this point. They've been pushing this stuff for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely over the past 5 years, been going hard. But yeah, to your point, it's just so sad that it is the leading institution, if not in the U.S., but potentially in the entire world for medical research and med students at large. And for them to put something out like this, it's just we're getting to a point where words are starting to lose their meaning because they just can't attach themselves to reality, and you can't understand. I don't even understand that.
Right.
Like,
right.
And I think most people just can't even grasp that. So, I don't know. This is just so sad.
A non-man attracted to non-men. And we must acknowledge the fact that this is only affecting women in this instance. This is only affecting the lesbian camp, which means it is only affecting biological women. Why is it that gay man is not changed to something that says a non-woman who is emotionally or romantically attracted to a non-woman? Why doesn't it say that? Is it maybe because men do not allow for these changes in languages and women are all like nurturing, compassionate, caring, anybody can identify as a woman, anybody can compete against us in the beauty pageants, in the swimming pool, in, you know, UFC fighting or whatever? Is that what's going on here? And it's interesting because people within the LGBTQ community or whatever, lesbian and gay people have been sounding the alarm on this and being like, yo, you're erasing our sexual identity. And it doesn't make any sense for you to start changing these labels and changing the very definition of what it means to be a woman. And it turns out they were right, but not for gay men, for lesbians. Just crazy. That what is a woman question is becoming more and more pertinent as time goes on. And still, Johns Hopkins University can't answer it. Can't answer it. A non-man who's attracted to non-men. Oh, y'all got me upside down. I can't. And then they're like, conservatives don't want to send their kids to university. It's how disgusting. They don't want their kids to be educated. This is the education that they're receiving. That this is what the definition of a lesbian is. Yeah, of course. Then I would be turning down, you know, acceptances to Johns Hopkins University. Why would you want to go if this is the education that you are receiving? It's just indoctrination and highly priced indoctrination at this point. Crazy. We're going to get into super chats, guys. Crazy. I don't. Which you guys answered our discrimination question. I think 53% of you said that no, they should not be allowed to discriminate. And then I think around 30% of you said yes, they should. And 15 or so percent of you, that doesn't add up. 15 to 20% of you said you don't know how you feel about the discrimination question. So most of you disagreed with me, but that's okay. That's okay.
By and large, they're just as confused as we are. So
I'm going to start a pro-discrimination revolution in this country, and we're gonna repeal that Civil Rights Act. Media Matters is going to take that clip.
Yep,
they're going to take that clip right now. It'll be on Twitter tomorrow.
All right, non-men and gentlemen, let's get into super chats.
Humanoids.
Total humans and droids. Dixon Butts says, punitive damages are strictly to punish the company and to deter them from doing it again. That's why it's so high. It has nothing to do with damages.
Right. It's to set an example. I get that. So that, you know, if you paid $25 million that first time, you're never going to do it again because you got hit so hard. I think there's also, for the white woman who was discriminated against, I don't know that somebody put it in the comments that maybe her name was put out in the news and she was receiving, you know, people outing her on social media, doxing her. That could have been part of this case as well. And in that case, I would say you deserve punitive damages because that should be something that's quietly handled. You lose your job, you go on about your business, and it shouldn't affect your life outside of it. So if that's the case, then that's also something to consider. So whoever commented that, sorry, I forgot your name.
But Dixon.
Okay, cool.
great point, Dixon. Thank you. Stephen Inman says, just wanted to start off by saying thank you for opening my eyes. Brett and yourself converted me. Second, we shouldn't judge anyone off race at all.
Yep, I completely agree. And I thank you for joining the show. Yeah, the thing is, the reason that, you know, Media Matters can take that clip or whatever and put it on the internet. But the reason that I say that is I feel like if we lacked laws on discrimination, it really wouldn't happen at the rate that people think it would happen. Most people are not actively going out to discriminate against other people. They're starting their businesses. They want somebody who does the job and does it well, and they're willing to hire whoever that is to get the job done. I don't think most people are like, oh no, she's black, we can't have her, even though she's highly qualified and she works harder than anybody else. I just don't think it's happening as often as people say it is.
A follow-up from Dixon here. I think this is about the Equinox story, but he said, being on time is white supremacy. Didn't you know that?
I've heard that before. What institution was that? Was that the Smithsonian?
Yeah, it was the Smithsonian.
Yeah, they did this whole exhibit on whiteness and the sort of ideals that are in proximity, close proximity to whiteness. And one of them was being on time. Also, perfectionism was, objectivity was attached to whiteness. The nuclear family was attached to whiteness. Just crazy, racist stuff. At your Smithsonian.
Sup, my dude says, it's sad that we're still so fixated on inherent traits like race. Judge one negatively only by thy's bad behavior and their liking of the 1975.
Yeah, I agree with the first part of that message. There is a quote by Viktor Frankl that I'm going to butcher, but he essentially says there are two races of man. They are the decent man and the indecent man. And that's exactly what the reality is, although we're not deciding to accept that as the reality. We're breaking things down into race and sexuality and all this stuff. There's just decent and indecent people. That's about it.
Maha333G just sends a super chat. No message. Thank you.
Thank you.
Same thing for Justin ISON. Thank you. Steven Sanders says, did you get a chance to watch the footage of my arrest yet by chance over mask policies?
Steven, I haven't. I still haven't seen it yet.
Wait. I gotta make sure you do that after this.
Yeah, I do. I don't want to put out which email would have been sent to. Never mind.
Okay.
Because then I'm gonna get a bunch of stuff in my email.
I think it was the one we gave press at PragerU, but we'll see.
Okay. Yeah, press at PragerU.com. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's safe. Riku Forever says, I just got fired because they did not want to give me benefits. I also was never given the hours I was promised, so I'm iffy with this issue.
Wait, say the beginning part again?
I got fired just because they did not want to give me benefits. I also was never given the hours I was promised, so I'm iffy about this issue.
About, like, suing them for something like that happens. I mean... Yeah, I just don't know what good it would do. Like, if I got fired from this job because they're like, sorry, we don't want to give you, like, benefits or health insurance or whatever, and we don't want you working 40 hours a week. We want to give you, like, 30. I'd be like, okay. Like, it would not be my inclination to sue them. I would just be like, okay, I'm going to go about my business and get a different job. Much like if somebody said something like, I'm firing you because you're a female or I'm firing you because you're black. I'd be like, that's effed up. But I'll see myself out. Like, I'm not gonna fight you over it. Like,
I'll see you in court.
Right.
Have fun paying me 25 mil.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I'll allow you to be racist. That's fine. Like, you can do you. It's not gonna get you anywhere in life. Like, it's a pretty bad position to be in intellectually and just as a human being with a moral compass. But you have every right to be there and be dumb. I guess is what I'm saying.
He did say I was never given the hours I was promised. So I guess if there's like, if you have
a contract
record that they lied to you or a contract, then you
know, that's wage theft.
Yeah.
So different.
I can sympathize with that. Jimmy Mapes gives two super chats, no message in either one though. So thank you, Jimmy. Chloe Bryan gives a super chat, says, our kids, communism. In reference to the White House's statement.
About right. It does sound about right. It's getting a little red scary. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Stephanie Fonseca says, the lefty part of me irks when y'all get excited over the horse racing. The animal cruelty that happens is heartbreak emoji. At least with the cow industry, we get milk.
Is there... I didn't know there was animal cruelty within horse racing. Y'all have to...
Yeah, I mean, there's a bigger discussion going on right now about, like, the treatment of those that race. And there have been a lot of horses that have been dying on tracks just due to conditions and whatnot and overtrained and the way they in the moment in time. People view that to be unethical and
you probably shouldn't, like... overtrain your horses to where they're dying. I didn't know that was happening, but I heard similar things like greyhound racing used to be a really big thing, right? And then they
it still is.
Really, you're allowed to greyhound race now?
Yeah.
Maybe it's state to state. Is it state to state? I feel like greyhound racing was banned in Florida, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm sure each state has some sort of legislation on what you can and can't race or gamble.
Gotcha. And then what I heard was that, like, they banned it in whatever state I'm referencing. You guys can fact check me on that. And then it was like, oh, now we have all these greyhounds that are not, like, running, doing anything. Like, no, there's no, like, random rescue that's going to take all of these dogs or whatever. So I think, like, there's a happy medium of making these things healthy and without the abuse. You know what I mean? Because as far as I'm
I just like the name National Treasure.
I didn't know PETA's going to be coming.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, you know, horses like to run. So how do you do that ethically? Just figure out how to make the math on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. The accountant says, binged all your videos and I'm super happy to catch alive. I'm an accounting intern and the government doesn't claim all the kids on a tax return because they don't pay for them. So they shouldn't try to parent other people's kids.
That's an interesting argument to make to them, right? Are they suddenly going to handle all the costs of childcare and all these things if they're your kids too? No. They'll just use them as cannon fodder in their political debates. Sorry, guys.
Maggie Catherine says, finally caught a live show. I've been listening for a few months and I'm so thankful for your rep of Gen Z in politics. Thanks, Unapologetic Crew.
Aw, thanks so much. We appreciate your support.
Scott and I are holding it down for the millennials. Carlos Cata says, we all discriminate constantly with whom we associate, make friends, life partners. Why should it be any different for business owners? A free market penalizes stupid discrimination.
Y'all,
love from Spain.
That's what I'm saying. It's not making sense. I know there's probably many people who don't want to hear that, or like, we've been socialized to think that if you say that, you're a horrible person. But it's like, it's not making sense. If I start a business, I should have every right to hire, fire, you know, work with whoever it is that I want to work with, which is why we got in, you know, that great cake debate that happened or whatever, and the lawsuit around that of the baker, I believe in Colorado, who gay couple came in and was like, I want you to make a gay wedding cake for us. And he's like, no, my values are not in support of that, so I'm not going to make you the cake. They take it to the court. He wins the suit on it. And I believe he's in another lawsuit right now over something else because other people came to target him over like trans stuff or something. But in my eyes, even though I don't necessarily agree, he has every right to say, I'm not going to make you that cake. And I own this business. I'm not going to give something that... or make something that doesn't support my values. Why should he not have that same right with hiring and firing? Yeah, somebody tell me. Y'all tell me. I'm a genuine question. Why should he not have that right? If he's got the right with the cake, and the same thing. If you have like a trans bakery or something like that, and a Christian person comes in and is like, I want you to make a Christian cake for my Christian wedding. And you're like, no, I'm not going to make the Christian cake for your wedding. You have every right to tell them you're not going to do that. And you're both better off because you're not giving money to a business that doesn't support your values. And they're not using their time, effort, and artistry to make something for somebody they don't support. Pro-discrimination, y'all. What can I say?
All right. Carlos, you had a great super chat there. Got a big reaction. So well done. I loved your quote, a free market penalizes stupid discrimination. And very libertarian of you, but... I'm with you. Russ Brausch says, love the channel. I'm an artist, one of the few conservative-minded in the community. Just like Alma is a conservative-minded theater kid.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by postmodern thinking and it makes me feel really sad that people view the world in that way.
Through the postmodern lens? Taylor will mm-hmm. go off on the postmodern. He's constantly like reading, listening to podcasts about like postmodernism. He knows all the inner workings of like how we got here and all this stuff. I'm just like, call it like I see it. And if I smell something that smells off, then I'm like, oh, it's probably postmodernism. But Taylor's he's all well versed in it.
You know, new discourses podcast by James Lindsay. He's really my go-to to expose the underbelly of all this stuff and the long march of through the institutions and the, you know, Antonio Gramsci and the Frankfurt School and mm-hmm. all this. You can trace back. It sounds very like intellectual, but you can literally trace back where all this craziness is coming from and look under the hood of how these people are thinking. I think Carl Jung said, people don't have ideas, ideas have people. So if you want to understand the way that people think who are captured by this ideology, mm-hmm. you can take the ideology and examine it and look at it, and you start to be able to predict, you know, you, like with woke movies, you can predict what's going to happen with the girl boss and things like that. Like you can predict how people are going to argue and everything just based on knowing how this ideology works and how they see the world. So that's how I find it useful. So yeah. Anyways, yeah, thanks for the shout. I guess that's how I nerd out.
Yeah, with James Lindsay.
All right, John says, with great wokeness comes great brokenness and irresponsibility. He said that's a quote of a uniquely American proverb. Love your show. Huh. Have any fan meetups scheduled?
I don't. Maybe we should do one of those one of these days. A safe one. We'll get security for that. I've been having some interesting encounters lately, so we'd get maybe a secure space. I would do a meetup with you guys. That'd be great. And as far as wokeness meaning brokenness, for everybody except this woman who sued Equinox, my goodness, she's now a millionaire. She's never going to work again. You'd never have to work again. Again, as long as these laws exist, y'all take advantage of them. I'm about to go start some stuff at this job. Amal Epinobi sues PragerU.
We'll set up a meetup that's just a trap for having you be discriminated against in some way, and we'll sue y'all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get millions of dollars in punitive damages.
Or vice versa. They'll try to sue us, and we'll be like the Spider-Man meme where everyone's pointing at each other. Toolmom 3990 says, hey, Amal and Taylor, I sent you an email last week with a picture of something I like to do while listening to your podcast. Hope you can share. Always a fan of my man Dennis, and rarely miss your podcast.
You should post it on Instagram. If you post it on Instagram stories, like this post you guys like watching the show and whatever it is you're doing in the background, you guys do some cool stuff. You guys are drawing and like creating stuff. One girl was baking bread while listening to the show, and she posted that on her Instagram story. Post it, tag me with the show and everything, and I will most definitely repost to my IG story. I love seeing what you guys are doing. It's so crazy, because it's one thing like I'm sitting here talking to a camera. It's another thing to like see what you guys are doing while you're listening to what we're talking about.
I'll just post to you here.
Scott's got the view right here. But yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool. Blows my mind.
It is, and I really want to see that picture now.
I'm gonna have to go look through my email. I'm not good with emails, guys, as you can tell by listening to these super chats.
Justin Eisen says, life is already hard enough without having to worry about what literally everyone in the world thinks.
It's a lot. Like, how do you guys not get tired? I feel like I saw this video of this TikTok of this woman making like a sauce. She was making some sort of Asian inspired sauce, and it was so good that she called it crack sauce, right? That's what she called it. This like guy stitches the video on TikTok and is like, it's actually not called crack sauce. And what you're actually doing is appropriating the sauce from Asian culture. And by calling it crack, you're also disenfranchising people who are addicted to a drug known as crack. It's just like, I can't. How do you have the energy? How do you have the energy to be this offended by a lady who like made a sauce and just posted it on the internet?
Didn't you send me one of it was like a hot comb or something? A white lady was like combing her hair with this comb that she didn't know existed. And
don't get me started. I almost thought about making a whole video about this because it just irked me so bad. This white girl gets on TikTok, right? And she's using a hot comb. For those of you who don't know what a hot comb is, it is essentially a comb that heats up in order for you to straighten your hair, and you can drag the comb through your hair. Now, back in the day, hot combs were like these metal combs that you could put on the stove, and black people would put them on the stove and use them to straighten their hair, get, you know, nice pressed hair or whatever. This girl goes to the store, a white girl, she buys a hot comb, and it's just one that you like plug into the wall, you can use on your hair. She starts using it for her hair. She calls it something different other than a hot comb, and all these people start freaking out on her. How dare you use that? How dare you call it a hot comb? It was invented by like this black woman or whatever. And then she researches it and is like, actually, there's evidence to suggest that the hot comb was invented by this French man. Not that it matters who it was invented by, right? Not that it truly even matters. but it sent the internet into this whole uproar about a white girl using a hot comb, and I just can't. Let the girl straighten her hair and let her use the hot comb and shut yo mouth. It's so crazy. Oh my god.
You should have just played it and done the reaction here. We could clip it for tomorrow's video.
I know. Yeah.
Save
I know.
Scott some time.
Just let her use the hot comb.
Wow. Okay. Lisa says the entire animal kingdom is non-man. This means that every insect, amphibian, bird, and mammal except heterosexual women is a lesbian.
Oh, I was so confused at first. I was like, but then I got it. Then
you're
I
non-man,
got it.
You're a lesbian.
That's
now.
Opening up some weird doors that I want to keep closed.
This is why you don't mess with language and reality. Yep. There's a reason. You know, Chesterton Spence, there's a reason why it's there.
That's why
yeah,
you leave
now,
it.
Now I'm thinking it was on purpose that they left out, like, say, humanoid after non-man humanoid or human,
right.
Like something along those lines. Now I think it was on purpose.
It's getting sus.
We still need that conspiracy theory soundbite to play whenever we say stuff like that. Tinfoil hat, keep under the table.
Yeah, we
at
need
all
a
times.
Conspiracy segment.
Misunderstood. That's clever. Miss space understood.
See what you did there.
With the poll in the beginning of the video, I'm really confused at why we have anti-discriminatory laws and diversity laws / quotas, especially considering how people use the diversity stuff.
It's
Hi, Taylor.
Sense. They say you're not allowed to discriminate on the basis of race while actively asking you to discriminate on the basis of race. I ask that all these laws be repealed immediately. This is how I run. I'm putting my name on the ticket. And yeah.
Amala 2032.
Yep. Amala. Yeah. Well, no, I still wouldn't be old enough.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that's I'd be wild. Only 32. So sorry, guys.
Yeah. When they say diversity, they mean less white people, which is discrimination. So you can't Literally. Simultaneously have laws that protect against discrimination and laws that mandate discrimination. But that's where we're headed because these folks is crazy. And they're thinking in a postmodern sense and not in a modern sense.
Just get rid of all of it. It's complete and total shutdown.
Put them all in jail. Yeah, total and complete shutdown until we can figure out what the hell's going on. Faith Hellman says, I'm going to refrain from making a mayonnaise joke.
Oh, you should have just done it.
I know that the greyhound racing was banned in Arizona when I was a kid. My aunt adopted two old racing greyhounds because they needed a home. Glad to have finally caught part of alive.
Hey, I just remember my grandfather as a kid, like there was some story about like greyhounds or it would be brought up and he'd be like, well, Amala, they banned greyhound racing and then they killed all the greyhounds. I'm like, I don't know that that's actually how the story went. I'll have to ask my grandpa about that because he's still hanging out with us. But I just remember that as a kid. So who knows? I'm all
cool
for
story.
Making it more ethical. Thank you. Thank you. I'm all for making it more ethical while maybe still allowing the greyhounds to perform their natural function, which is running. It's actually abusive to not let them run.
Yeah.
So if you can put money on it to make it ethical, then that's
it's
more
like
power
to you.
It
shouldn't be complicated. Let's keep the horses and the greyhounds happy and not like race them to death.
Exactly.
And let them do their thing and be happy and race. And like whatever it takes to make a race where they can be happy, like let's do that. And regulate the shit out of people who are trying to abuse them.
Yep.
Anyways.
Perfect. You're hired.
Yeah. I'll hold it down in 2028 until you're done. I'm almost old enough to run for president. That's bad. That's scary.
Is it bad? Accept it.
Alex Centeas says, hey there, gang. I think that video you did yesterday was a rare look into how a lot of men's lives are. Women mostly have no idea how things are for men.
You guys had so many mixed reactions to that video. I was reading through your comments and it was a lot to keep up with. For those of you who don't know, we reacted to a video of a trans man, meaning a biological woman, breaking down over the fact that as a man, he's struggling to build relationships and to make male friendships because it's so much easier as a woman to do those things. And I asked the question, do you guys think this is a problem within maleness and being a man? Or do you think this is a woman trying to be a man and that's why it's not working out? A bunch of you, some of the top comments were men saying, no, it's lonely to be a man and we struggle to make friendships and we struggle to build connection. And then a lot of you were saying, no, that's not the case. This is a woman's view. Men just build different types of friendships. So it's been interesting to read through a lot of what you had to say. And as I expected, there was a spectrum of belief on the issue and a lot of different interesting stories. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a conversation starter.
It was.
I'm like, you know, I think that both are true. Like, yes, it is more lonely to be a man, mm-hmm. but that's also, men are different from women in how they form friendships. And like the so-called loneliness is like part of taking on the responsibility of being a man. And it's not that you need to be in an emotionally unhealthy way lonely, and that's like men are condemned or doomed to forever to just suffer in loneliness. I don't think that that's necessarily true, or that society structured to keep it that way. But I do think that men just relate to one another differently and don't require the same type of emotional sharing and talking and stuff that women do to have that sense of shared camaraderie. I don't know. Scott, do you have anything to add? I'm curious if you how you feel about the whole situation.
I'm along the same lines there. I just think I was trying to think of a synonym to loneliness that wasn't necessarily negatively charged, because I feel like that word, it's people just hear it and they think something like, oh, you're depressed, essentially. And that's not necessarily the same case. They're not apples to apples there. And I think it's more accurate to say something like men are more driven as individuals and
like aren't solitary.
Yeah, solitary in their nature. And I think that's an aspect of it. So I would just try and remove the loneliness aspect. I mean, to your point, like men, they just have different ways of communicating with one another. And there's the competition level that exists among all men. And it's always an element of any sort of relationship. But that's, you know, how you go about, displaying that or managing that and reconciling that among the relationship that you're either building or trying to form. That's all dependent upon the two individual men and their solitary pursuits. So it's interesting. That was an interesting video yesterday.
Yeah, it sparked a lot. It's just, and it's going to be so situational too. So you just like, you never know.
Yeah, you guys go watch the video if you haven't, and then give us your two cents in the comments.
Lonely versus solitary. That's interesting. I did not think about that point of like the negative charge that the word has. That's very fascinating.
Abby Chai says, I'm 37 weeks pregnant with my first baby. Congratulations. if the government ever tells me she's everyone's baby, I will be expecting child support from everyone.
What the heck? Yeah, I know. This will be like, don't do that, daddy government. We don't want you. No, who knows what that comes on? That's a whole different contract. If they start paying for everything for your kids, they're going to expect a whole lot
attached
in return. Which, put my tinfoil hat back on. We need an actual tinfoil hat. I'm going to make one. And I'm just going to put it on when we're talking about these things. I read a story, and I haven't confirmed this yet, that JP Morgan just paid out a $290 million settlement to this whole Epstein case and victims and things like this, because they were aware of what was going on. And have you heard that in the news? Have you heard that reported anywhere? Are you turning on the news and hearing about this $290 million settlement? No, you're not. So other things are going on. There's a lot. And the government does not own your children, because Lord knows what they would do if they did. Just insane. Disgusting.
And that effectively means they were willing to pay $290 million rather than let the truth get out.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I have to read more into it. I don't know the ins and outs of the settlement itself. Sure. I literally just saw that this had happened recently. So I will read into it and let you guys know. But yeah, that is effectively what it would mean if that's the case.
It's all allegedly.
We're speculating. Don't sue us. Oh my gosh, imagine. Imagine we get sued by JP Morgan.
Yeah, talking about litigious society.
Yeah,
here.
It's literally all alleged. Don't sue me.
Dark Knight says, I messed up the super chat twice. Oh, sorry, man. Keep up the good work, Omelin crew. Maybe next time, LOL.
Thank you. I hope we didn't like take money from you. I hope you mean messed up as in like you couldn't get it through.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Was he the one that gave two without a message earlier? I don't remember. But
oh, no.
Anyways, okay, we'll read them. Just send us the cheapest ones and we'll read them.
Yes, exactly.
Not all of you, just Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Krusty the Sock says, YouTube has so much porn on their own website. Daily Wire and yourself would be able to force YouTube's hand hardcore. I have two words. that you put into YouTube search. Okay. Anyways, so and this person has up. Discovered YouTube porn.
I can imagine it's everywhere on all platforms. The issue is they don't care. Like, if the Daily Wire was like, we found this on your site and we found that, like, just like with what happened at the Instagram thing, they'll be like, oh, yeah, we'll look into that. We'll try to work on that. Yeah, it's a glitch. Oh, I'm so sorry that we're networking and creating a pedophile ring on Instagram. We'll look into that. It's essentially, they don't care.
Our content moderation team was having a bad day.
Exactly.
We're really sorry.
Yeah, we're focused more on misgendering right now.
Mm-hmm. So true. Christina Marie says, thank you, Amala, for all you do. Grew up in New York blindly following the woke movement, but was so unhappy, the opposite of what is promised. We have been lied to. I hope people find the light.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad that you've found a little community here. I've been working on your guys's... Okay, so like... We had the mug winners, right? And five of them, you know, responded. It took me forever, so I apologize. It takes me forever to do things. But I packaged up your little mugs, and I was writing you little notes for the ones we're going to send out. And these are going to get sent out tomorrow for five winners. I think we're going to do another one of these here shortly. So just as a note, because I want to, like, send you guys thanks in at least a little note form. You can sign up for the newsletter, and we're going to do another draw of, you know, five people to get mugs and stickers and a little note and everything. So I've been thinking about y'all. Y'all are so nice.
It won't take a month and a half to ship it, though, this time, we promise.
No, it won't. We'll be much faster this time now that we've got the system streamlined. And by system, I mean me.
Yeah. Steven Sanders, I think this is our last one, says, did you see Louder with Crowder had a live feed DDoS attack this morning?
DDoS? What does that mean?
It's like a hacking thing. I don't remember exactly how it works, but you're like sending thousands of requests at once to somebody's server or whatever, and it crashes and creates a vulnerability of some kind.
No, I didn't hear about
that. I probably butchered that, but
I don't watch Louder with Crowder, so I have not heard
such
things.
And on that note, we're done with Super Chats.
Oh, okay. What an interesting note to lead off. Okay. Well, I do have an announcement for you guys. Next week for this show, the live show, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we're going to be starting at 1 p.m. Pacific rather than 3 p.m. Pacific. So a little bit of a time change. We're moving it up 2 hours indefinitely. So I just want you guys to know that there will be a time change, and that is not this week, not going to happen on Friday. It's going to happen next week on Monday. So that's the time that we'll be seeing you again. It's going to be 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for those of you on the East Coast, and that'll be the change there. If you'd like to sign up for our email/newsletter, well, you'll get updates on PragerU content, my content, plus a little blurb from me every Friday about what's going on in my life. You can sign up by going to the link in the description down below. Plus, you might get a little package with an unapologetic mug, a little note from me, and some stickers. And we're going to pick five of you to send that to. And we'll do that. We'll do another draw of that. So you can sign up by going to the link in the description down below. Also, if you want to just join a community without the email and all that stuff, you can join our Discord. Oh, unless, does Discord ask you for your email? JK, Discord asks for your email as well. Yeah. Never mind. So... you guys don't check your email anyways. I know you.
Okay. Just to verify and then you're in.
I know. Half of you didn't check your email when we were trying to send you the mugs. So this happens. So sign up with your email on our Discord and you can join our community of like-minded individuals. Go debate people, send pictures of your dog, the food you're making, whatever, and just have good conversations outside of the show here. That's all I got for you today. We're going to see you tomorrow with a new video. And that'll be that. Have a nice night.